Do you think worldwide lockdowns are about the virus?
Well, I guess on the 9/11 analogy, I would say that COVID-19 and the lockdowns and all of this are about a virus in the same way that 9/11 was about real estate in Manhattan. I mean, I suppose you could frame it that way, but that would be a very ridiculous way to frame it. No, fundamentally, what this is about is the flexing of a worldwide global health biosecurity police state, and we are seeing some aspects of that playing out differently in different corners of the world. But I mean, look, for example, at what's happening in Melbourne, Australia right now, where they're on a stage 4 lockdown. People cannot leave their house without permission from the government. People being arrested, forcibly manhandled for daring to walk outside without a mask and other such things. This is happening right now. And I think that fundamentally is what this is about. In fact, we don't have to go very far out on a speculative limb for that. We can turn to the World Economic Forum and other fora that have discussed this as the Great Reset, or the chance for it to establish a new normal. And I think that type of phraseology has been employed often enough during this crisis that we know that obviously political elements are not looking at this simply as a virus that's going to come and go, but as a fundamental restructuring of the way we look at society. I don't think that this is about Marxism. I don't think it's about capitalism. I don't think it's about any of those types of economic or political or sociological ideologies that we're familiar with. It's about one that, unfortunately, not one in 100 people in the audience likely has ever heard of, which is technocracy, which is really what this is about. This is about the institution of an establishment that is predicated on a small oligarchical faction that has incredible powers that they accrue to themselves on the basis of their presumed authority, in this case in the public health sphere, to be able to tell people what to do in order to preserve the maximum number of lives, or at least prevent the maximum number of cases, or the goalposts keep shifting every week, as I'm sure you've noticed. But at any rate, this is about technocracy, and technocracy brings with it all sorts of economic and political ramifications that I think are at a deeper level than the sort of Marxism or capitalism or whatever the sort of 19th century framing of this debate. This is a 21st century framing, and that's going to take us in bold new directions that I don't know if, I don't think one person in 100 again has even thought about this, let alone really wrestled with some of the drastic changes that are going to take place as a result of this demonization of face-to-face human-to-human contact that is the basis of human society. When we start putting that on the table and start negotiating how much of that we're willing to give up in order to protect us from this scary virus, I think we start really looking down the barrel of the gun at the transhuman, post-human future. In fact, again, we don't have to go out on a speculative limb on that. The Wall Street Journal was recently running an op-ed on looking forward to the end of humanity was actually the title of the op-ed, and it's all about how this Great Reset new normal moment gives us a chance to contemplate the transhuman future, which is ultimately, I think, the final concluding push of the technocratic state that's being ushered in right now, where we're going to start looking at the brain chips and the modifications of our what it means to be human at the genetic level and otherwise. These are the kind of unbelievable, fundamental, ground-shaking types of changes that are coming that I think, again, people who are stuck in a 19th century mindset probably are going to miss. I think that, in my view, the most important part of what is happening right now is essentially we are being compliance tested, and I think the masks are the most visible and obvious sign of that, at least in the Western countries. As you know, I live here in Japan, where wearing a mask, it's just another Tuesday. I mean, it's not a political issue. People do it all the time. It means nothing. But in Canada, in America, in England, in other places like that, where it is obviously not a cultural norm to wear masks, essentially what this is a compliance test. And I think it's a relatively meaningless compliance test at this point. I don't think there's any huge health benefits or drawbacks to wearing masks, but people are being normalized into accepting things that are very far outside of their norm on the basis of public health authorities telling them to do so. And it's interesting to note that, of course, just a few months ago, it was, for example, in the U.S., Anthony Fauci, and in Canada and elsewhere, that people were being told specifically not to wear masks. And then, a few months later, no, you have to wear a mask. We were lying to you before because we wanted to protect the store of masks. again, it's about being able to, at any given moment, completely, utterly, blindly follow the orders of public health authorities, which is why I think that the resistance against masks, I think, is the first line of a very long battle of attrition that's going to take place, in which I think it's going to get more and more invasive, the types of things that people are being told to do, including, of course, the specter of the mandatory vaccination coming down the line. We are moving into that post-human, transhuman future, and that's going to be a big part of that indoctrination. Well, we need to know everywhere you've been. We need to know everyone you've interacted with. We need to know everything that you've purchased and everything that you've done. And that's going to be done more and more through digital tracking of various forms. And then eventually, why do you have to carry this phone around with you everywhere? Why don't we just embed that directly into you? And again, that sounds like science fiction fantasy to some people in the audience who have not been paying attention, but I guarantee you that is the direction that this push is going. And it may not happen today or tomorrow, but somewhere, some number of years down the road, that is the direction we are being pushed, unless we push back against that right now. That is absolutely one of the big pushes of this Great Reset. Again, you can take this from the World Economic Forum and others who have been pushing this idea. And in fact, of course, we now know, again, this is absolutely debunked rumors that were spreading around before. Oh, you don't want to touch cash. That might have the virus on it. Well, it turns out, actually, the virus doesn't even spread through cash. Or so at least that is the current medical scientific consensus. But that idea has lingered on all these months and is being pushed in a number of countries. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know, this is at the exact same time that in the U.S., for example, they're starting to flirt with the digital dollar. Well, why doesn't everyone have an account directly tied into the Federal Reserve where they can pump emergency stimulus funds directly into your account that will, of course, be tied into a biometric ID database and all of this other stuff that comes along with that. The Bank of England has just come along to say that they are working on a central bank digital currency. China is now trialing their central bank digital currency. They aim to be the first country in the world to really roll out a national digital currency. It is coming, and it has been coming for years. I think this is just the excuse that will be used to transition us fully into the cashless society. And of course, that brings with it the complete end of privacy, the complete end of the ability to transact with others without the government or Big Brother generally being that third party in every interaction you have. And anyone who doesn't see what a nightmare that is just is not paying attention. I wrote an article called Universal Basic Enslavement, which people can look up on my website. I think you get the idea from the title. I think Universal Basic Income is really just a fishhook to get into the mouths of the public in order to keep them on the string being dangled by the technocrats, ultimately, who are seeking to run a system like that. It's going to be tied into your biometric identification, that's going to be tied into your government account, that will be tied into the digital national currency, that will be tied into your social credit score. And ultimately, it will be that kind of Black Mirror nightmare where you will have to have a proper social credit score in order to receive your basic income, and you'll need a basic income in order to survive because there won't be any productive economy left for anyone who isn't just an automaton working for the Amazon delivery drones. Even then, they're going to be more and more literal drones, robotized, so eventually people will be shouldered out of the economy one way or another, and the only way to put food on the table will be to accept the government handouts, the universal basic income, which will come with strings attached, including, of course, make sure you get all your shots and every other stipulation that will come with that. I definitely do not think that this is the way out for humanity. I think it is ultimately the biggest nightmare. It is giving the chains to the controllers, to the technocrats to put around our own necks.